Good to see you right here, and thank you, Bobby, for those songs. The last one very well ties in with my little lesson, so thank you for that. I'd like to read a familiar passage to most of us found in Luke 10:38-42. And as we pick up with Jesus and some of his followers traveling, it says, while they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha invited him into their house. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up to the Lord and asked, Lord, why don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. See, the account of Martha and Mary can yield a lesson to us in our day and age. Are we too busy with worldly things? Remember, Jesus was at their home probably for an apparent meal. And as the good hostess, Martha was bustling around, preparing, you know, as it has to be done. She was the epitome of busyness, getting all things prepared and in order. You know, as we may know, hospitality was a large factor back in those days. Think of Lot, who offered his daughters for the hospitality of someone under his roof. That's how importantly they took hospitality. So Martha scurried about, and we saw that Mary was pretty much ignoring everything else except sitting at the feet of Jesus as they conversed. You could might say Martha became a little put out that Mary wasn't helping her any at all. And she even asked Jesus to, you know, tell Mary to come help us. You know, now we saw that Mary was dutifully sitting at the seat of the Master, and she was probably learning what she could from their friend and teacher during his possibly brief visit. And she and Jesus saw priorities in a somewhat different way than Martha did. Said Mary had chosen the good part, or some translations say the right choice in this situation. Jesus even described Martha as worried, upset, anxious, distracted, depending what translation you look at, about many things, and insisted that Mary was right to be with him. I'm not sure of the culture of other countries today, but it seems like in the U.S. and maybe even Texas specifically, the busier you keep yourself, the more important you are, and the more time one consumes with this or that activity, and especially the new activity that apparently we're all supposed to be involved in, called the side hustle, we seem to be more important in society and to even our family. How many times have you known someone with multiple irons in the fire, and for whatever reason, that's their justification, and then they complain that their life is just too busy? The sad truth is they probably want it that way and like it that way. Work and or social activities can become their God and is really a form of idolatry, pushing service to our Lord to second, third, or ninth place in their lives. I may have remarked before that I know coworkers in the place I work that if a shift comes open on Sunday, I mean, they fall all over themselves to work it. And I just shake my head. I said, are a few extra dollars worth more than an assembly to worship our Lord? Apparently they don't feel that way. No, the scriptures have a different set of priorities. Rather than stretch yourself too thin, the Bible is clear of its list of priorities. God, church, family, and other people. Of course, these priorities can be interwoven, but that's what we should be busy with. So what's not on this list of priorities? How about our job, our hobbies, earning extra money, vacations that take us away from opportunities to assemble with other saints? So some seem to have these priorities just backwards. Yes, we'll all admit that it's a command to provide for our families. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. But some of us have or have had jobs that don't allow us to be absent for just any reason. But how about the child that would dearly love their parents to watch them play Little League or maybe a child giving a recital or in a play. It's even sadder if these fleeting moments are missed because you're dealing with your side hustle. That's just totally unnecessary. Were Martha's activities wrong in their own right? No. I mean, the food had to be prepared. Or to be an employment that maybe doesn't make all the allowances we would like for our family life? Again, no. I mean, it happens. But let's make sure that what we choose as our vocation and location doesn't crowd out what's important according to the Bible. Let's don't be like the one who had a very good harvest, and it kind of ties in with the last song we sang. In Luke 12, 16 through 21, we read, and he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." But what was God's reply to him? He said, "Thou fool." When we put God first in our schedule and make time for him, you know, we soon look forward to that time to spend with him. A daily evening prayer, for instance, can maybe reflect on our activities of the day and think about how we maybe could have served our Lord a little bit better, take stock of our actions. On the hopefully rare time that we may have sinned, the thought of uncomfortably acknowledging our sin and asking for forgiveness may make us less likely to do that same sin in the future. So let's see if we can agree that busyness and secular activities should not be a core value in life. Being overly busy with worldly things is not something that should be sought after or even valued. It's not a mark of success in proving you have a life. And instead of proving you have a life, it might mean that you are incapable of having the good and righteous life that God expects of us. Have we bitten off more than we can chew in our financial dealings? Is this how God wants us to live, in constant fear or anxiety that we can't make that next boat payment or house payment that's too big that we need, or car or whatever? Will this fear lead us down the path of working more and more and giving less time for God in our life? Remember John 6:27, where the first part of the verse says, "Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life." In Ephesians 4:28, the latter part of the verse says, "Do honest work with our hands so that we have something to share with anyone in need." So can we give to others if we can barely make our own financial obligations? Something to think about. Busyness with world pursuits also separates us from God. Our required activities, the things that keep us busy, will eventually consume us and our time and become the things that give us value, supplanting the value we should have as a child of God. The work becomes our identity. And it's not the identity of being a disciple that we should and must have. We begin to lose sight of God's reality and service to him in our life, and it robs us of our rightful place and service to him, just as Adam and Eve eventually decided that they didn't need God. Worldly business devalues other people. Hopefully we all have a good old work ethic that in wanting to do above and beyond what is expected of us by our employer. And that's actually a biblical principle, to give work to what we obligate to do. But if we become too busy, it will push out our other duties to others and sacrifice our time. Then that should go to the people we care about, such as missed birthdays, gifts, family feelings, and even spending time with family as a role model and a teacher if we work too much. The same worldly busyness self-sabotages. The constant, endless cycle of being busy can begin to take its toll on us physically. The stress, frustrations, lack of rest, constant mental strivings can leave us too overworked, sick, even too exhausted to continue. And again, guess who loses in this scenario? Right, our service to God. So projecting that burnout cycle down the road, we can see that it can ultimately cause us just to give up, because no one can meet those lofty goals we have set for ourselves in an effort to be better than the next guy. We downward spiral and start to leave things undone that we shouldn't, or shirk our duties to our families or others. Then we condemn ourselves and berate ourselves for not meeting the bar that never can be fully met, even while abandoning what's important in our other life. So in closing, let's look at a few verses of admonition about being too busy for the Lord. Quality over quantity, Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. But he who is unrighteous in a little thing is unrighteous also in much. Materiality, Psalms 39:6. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. Ability, Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Overworking is discussed in Psalms 127:2. It is in vain that you rise up early and go to rest late, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Consider getting ahead. Haggai 1:5-6. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but are never full. You put on clothes, but are never warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Priorities, Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things of the earth. Trusting in our own wisdom, Proverbs 23:4. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own understanding, from thine own wisdom, The warrior mentality, 2 Timothy 2:4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Seek the kingdom first. And Matthew 6, 33-34 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. So let's do some introspection. Are we too busy with things of the world? Let's do be busy with service to the Lord and preparation for an eternity with our God. And I thank you very much.